This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to another edition of Tech Talk with our friend Doug Swinhart. Our computer expert is willing and able to answer your questions by phone and by text. And you know, we tend to get busy. So if you are having any issues with your computer or just any general questions about the computer biz, call us, text us, 651-989-9226. And again, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know, we tend to get really busy here. So don't wait till it's too late. We'd love to help out as many people as we can. Good morning to you, Doug.
Well, hi, Danny. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, but can I say, first of all, happy birthday.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I didn't think anybody would notice, and I really appreciate that.
Well, and you're spending part of that with us. That's very kind of you. We appreciate it. Now, what are you going to be?
Absolutely.
What are you going to be doing today to celebrate? You're probably not going too many places.
No, I'm going to do a little work in the yard, and I got to catch up on some computer stuff that, this time of year, predominantly it slows down. Not this year. Just keeps on coming to work. But we'll get everybody taken care of, and hopefully in a timely manner.
Let's do that. So again, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. In fact, I didn't see it. I had it in front of me earlier this morning, and I misplaced it. Somebody wanted to know, you had talked last week on the show about, well, I'm not sure if it was a free service or what, because I know you, on occasion you talk about various things that you can get for free, but in many cases you say, come on, if it works for you, give them a few bucks. But I can't remember for the life of me what that was. Do you?
Well, you know, there's lots of free things on the Internet, but I always caution people to make certain that it is exactly what it looks like and to just keep track of what they're downloading. I'm going to guess that if we were talking about something free, probably could have been something like Google Drive, which comes with a Gmail account. Could have possibly been Malware Bytes, which has a free version, but it doesn't run in memory like the Premiere. So I always like to see people, if they're having Windows 7 or Windows 8 and they buy Malware Bytes, they should actually step up and purchase it. It's much more effective. 5-Bot Search and Destroy has a free version for malware checking. There's lots of good things. So hard to tell. If you come across that note, just let me know, and we'll definitely discuss it again.
Absolutely. You know, as I mentioned before in the show, I use a Mac, and I years ago I was, you know, had another couple of computers that were Windows 7, basically. I take that back. I have tried down at the station Windows 10. But what do you think of Windows 10, and when's the next system coming along?
I'm not certain if Microsoft is planning on changing the actual operating system name. It sounds like it's going to stay Windows 10 for a while, even though they come out with different builds and revisions and updates for each build, I think they're going to stick with the Windows 10 name so far. And as we move forward, Microsoft is going to be pushing what's called SaaS, Software as a Service. And instead of it being like a piece of music that we buy and play on a stereo, it will be more similar to a subscription, I think it'd be a closer thing than saying software as a service. And as you know, Windows 10, the interface, I think, is the Metro menu system, is really more designed towards portable devices and touchscreens. It's okay. I personally will always add OpenShell, which replaced Classic Shell. Same program, they just renamed it. And that's a free program that you can change the shell, the interface, and you can have a menu that is like XP or Windows 7 or Windows 8, and much more user-friendly, I think, for a desktop. But it's going to be moving pretty fast here. We are expected to come out with another version of Windows here shortly, and we'll wait and see what happens.
But the Microsoft has stopped supporting 7, have they not, a long time ago?
Well, yeah, it's this is kind of a, I think, a more of a, how do I say, encouragement to get people to move to 10. But I think if you got yourself prepared and you keep everything in check, I do think, however, if you're going to keep running Windows 7, one should always invest in an antivirus and malware. And a paid version is going to be much better than any of the free versions. And there's a lot of them out there. My preference would probably be Malwarebytes or ESET, ENOD 32. Both these companies are U.S. companies, great support, great product line, and they just are going to continue to do a good job. So I think people could keep 7. I've got 7 running, and it seems to work just fine.
Yeah. I guess I do too on these old computers. By the way, before we take a break, I want to grab a text because I know we'll get backed up here. If you have any kind of a computer question for Doug, call it in. We've cleared the lines if you want to chat with him, or just send a text if that's easier. Same number applies, 651-989-9226. Doug, this is a text that just came in. My Asus computer, solid state from you, cuts me out of the internet, even if my house has internet with all other tech equipment. It's frustrating, they say, on a Zoom meeting, etc.
This could be a couple of things. Generally, if the same condition is only happening on one device and you can't replicate it on another device, when it comes to wireless, many of the software packages that configure your wireless device will have a setting that will initiate your wireless to automatically connect to the strongest signal. If we have a neighbor or something like that that bought a new router that's pumping out a ton of power, and our device will automatically try to connect to that, well, of course, if it's set up with security, which chances are it is, then it won't be able to connect, and that way we will disconnect from the internet. Now, from what this texture is describing, might be a little bit more than that. If this is happening when they're doing video chats or some kind of a team connection, it's very possible they might need to increase their bandwidth. And that they would call their internet service provider, and hopefully they got a faster internet that is available, and step up and just let the good times roll. But wireless is not a perfect science by any means. Sometimes just moving these routers a couple of feet or a couple of inches will make all the difference in the world, because there could be obstructions that we don't see. So play around with it. You will definitely get it tweaked up. And thank you for the text. That was good text.
All right. Very good. Let's take a quick break here, Doug. If you have a question, a computer-related question for Doug, call it in or text it in. Again, same number, 651-989-9226. Let's take this break. We'll be right back with more Tech Talk here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Another Saturday morning in CCO land when we talk computers or problems with a computer issues. Yours, ours, 651-989-9226. Doug Swinhart is our guru, or somebody just called you on the text line, Doug. And that wasn't a birthday gift either. They really mean it because I think you've helped this person out before. Let's get back in it. We have callers, too, and I don't want to keep those folks waiting. In fact, let's go to the phones. I think Randy in Champlin is first up here. Randy, thank you. What's your question for Doug?
Well, Doug, I bought a software program for converting my DVDs to digital. I can keep on a stick. I've loaded a bunch of them on there, and now my computer doesn't even recognize the USB flash.
That's I would have to say that's unusual, but I have a feeling it might have something to do with copy protects, even if you own that music. But there are converters out there that will do this. The thing is, what bothers me is that it now no longer recognizes the flash drive. And I think you're actually talking the flash drive that you plug in, but the USB port itself is still active. Is that correct?
That's correct. I tried a different USB drive, and it worked fine.
Yeah, this particular flash drive, you may need to reformat this to see if you can actually get to it. And this is where Linux really shines, because it will pick up that device and you can actually go in and wipe out what's there if there's something causing it not to be read properly. Windows, it's a little bit more difficult to do this, but I would be looking at that package and making certain that it is in accordance or in coordinated with the copyright protects. But if this is music that you've purchased on a DVD and you just want to put it on a different medium, you shouldn't have any problem with that. And depending on what you got going on, might want to give me a call next week and we'll take a look and see what kind of file format you have and see if we can help you out there. This can get kind of complex. Kind of almost tied to a command line and in Linux to get this done. But we can figure this out for you in Windows as well. And thank you for the call, and have a good weekend.
We'll get you Doug's number before he leaves us. We'll mention that a couple of times. He's been kind enough to give you his phone number so he can help you out outside of the show. 651 is our number, 651-989-9226. Let's see, that was Randy. Let's go to Rick. Rick is calling in from Coon Rapids today. Thank you, Rick. What's your question?
Yeah, Doug, the scroll function on my mouse works fine until I connect to the internet.
Oh, now that's just weird. if you've got that function in Windows, you should certainly have it when you're on the internet. I would be trying different browsers. You might want to download the Brave browser if you haven't already done so. Try to get it to see what it does in Firefox. If it's one specific browser, I probably would recommend that you uninstall that and reinstall it. I have seen in the past where certain sites have difficulty with the scroll function. And generally, you can create a keystroke or a macro for your mouse that will overcome that. But it's strange that you're having it on the internet total. I would be going after and researching browsers first. And I hope that helps. And thank you for the call.
Our number again, 651-989-9226. If you'd like to chat with Doug, call us. Or if it's easier, send a text like other folks are doing. And again, the same number, 651-989-9226. Speaking, Doug, of text messages, here's one. It says, "Hi, Doug. I have an older 16-gig Samsung tablet that keeps giving me a message about Google Play services aborting. I cannot uninstall and reinstall. I cannot restart the application. This prevents me from doing anything on this tablet. Do you think this is a simple fix for a guru like you, or should I give up and dump it? You have worked wonders for me before."
Yeah, interestingly enough, these Chromebooks are supported for a specific time. And I know that people are contacting Google and saying, well, you know, we'd like to extend this. And Google's in the process of, I believe, contemplating a small fee to keep that piece of machinery going and to keep updating the operating system. Part of what I think this user might be dealing with, when they're talking about 16 gigs, I think that's the storage area. But some of these smaller devices are now combining random access memory and storage on one device because the SSD drives are fast enough to handle that. And 16 gigs, even with a Chromebook, might be a little light. I think they're out of space. I think they've got things saved on there that is preventing the actual operating system from updating. But unless we know what data was purchased and what their agreement is with Google, it's very difficult to say what's going on. I will say this. These devices, many of them, can be reformatted and install Linux. And if you can get that happening, you got a device that's going to run well. This one might be a little lacking in horsepower and resources, but we should still be able to find something. I don't like throwing equipment away. I really don't. If it's usable and it's still running, we should certainly be able to take advantage of it. So that's what would be my concern is, let's not be quick to throw stuff away. And thank you for the text. Good text.
Good deal. 651-989-9226. Don't wait. If you have a question, a computer-related question for Doug, call it in or text it, and we have about another half hour of the show to go. And I don't want to miss out on helping folks out if we can possibly get you in here in time. 651-989-9226. All right, let's grab another text before we take a break. Texter says, I have a question regarding email. My husband and I are on the same computer. We cannot get to his email. Only mine comes up. What do we do?
I deal with this almost weekly somewhere.
Really?
And the way these email accounts are actually working, the web browsers have kind of sectioned off to where I always suggest a couple have two browsers, one browser for one of the partner's email, the other browser for the other. Possibly Chrome and Firefox, or Chrome and Chromium, or Brave and another one. But if you have a main email that you want to have come up automatically in your browser, it's going to require a separate browser to really stay synchronized and coordinated. And that's the easiest fix for that. I see this all the time. What gets more interesting is when a married couple shares an email and they have the exact address and want to somehow separate those emails into folders or sections so they can each read their own. That gets a little bit more complex, and generally you have to get your recipients or your senders involved in doing something to where you can create a filter and make the division between the two. But two separate emails, just use two separate browsers, and you should be good to go. Thank you for the text. Great text.
Interesting. All right, I'll tell you what, Doug, we need to take a quick break. So if you have any computer issues you want to talk to Doug about or chat with him via text, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Back with more Tech Talk here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back on a Saturday morning to Tech Talk. Our friend Doug Swinhart, Denny Long here with Doug on his birthday celebration. And you can help him celebrate by asking him a computer-related question, either by phone or by text, 651-989-9226. I know we have some text messages I don't want to forget about either, but we also have callers, too, like Bob, I think, is first up here in Chanhassen. Bob, thanks for waiting. What's your question?
Hi, happy birthday. Say, I have Office 365, and I use it on a hotspot quite frequently. And I also, it's through Verizon, they have a Catalina. So when we're trying to load, when I'm on my hotspot, my Office 365 isn't working. But as soon as I get onto Wi-Fi, it works.
Yeah, that actually surprises me. I'm aware of this hotspot that Verizon supplies. And normally this thing is a good runner. It might be that you could increase your bandwidth on your hotspot, perhaps. I can't think of any other reason where there would be that kind of difference. I do know that many people who are using 365 also have a local version of Office, the last version you can install locally, 2016 Office, and that might at least solve your problem. But then as soon as you get Wi-Fi, you'd want to update your files up in the cloud. But that's that has to do, I think, more with bandwidth And it's perhaps, I don't have a quick fix for this. It's if you want to give me a call, I'd take a look at your network. But if you're connecting and you're solid, about the only thing that's going to make this happen is the speed of your internet. Check your speed. I would suggest go to testmy.net, testmy.net, and select combined and check two or three times, and you'll probably won't get the same results each time you run because internet changes. It varies somewhat. But check it on your Wi-Fi and check it on your hotspot and compare the two. And I'll bet you you're going to find that either your upstream or your downstream is considerably different on one or both. And thank you for the call, and good luck.
Yeah, I did that myself here in recent weeks, Doug, as far as down and up, and it was in pretty good shape. But, I mean, it seemed like the up is, I don't want to say low, but it's quite a bit different than the megs on the download. Is that typical?
Yes, it is. When we click a link, that one network packet goes up the internet to issue the command to wherever it's going. Now, once that network packet gets to a web server or a DNS server, that gives the command to bring all of the web content back down into your computer. And there's a lot more coming in than going out. So every internet service provider is configured this way in order to take advantage of bandwidth at the lowest possible resources. This is very, very common. And most people don't need that upstream unless you're housing a web server or doing something that is way advanced for most users. And that's very common. And you should use that. Well, mine is, I believe, 250 megabits per second down and 11 megabits up. It's just fine. And that's pretty much standard
with
Comcast Xfinity throughout the Twin Cities.
That's fast.
Yeah, it's a good solid connection too. It's working well.
Right. All right. 651-989-9226. Call it in or text it in. Your question, your computer related question for Doug Swinhart. And again, we'll give you Doug's phone number before he leaves us today. Another text came in. It says this. See, I have successfully installed Linux on my computer. The problem I'm having is getting the printer to work. I have a Brothers, and it's not on the list of printers, but Brothers has the uploads for it, but I'm lost on how to do it. So says the texter.
This is one area in Linux where from time to time we got to kind of get our hands dirty. And I know exactly what they're dealing with. This is a user that has taken the initiative to learn Linux. Great, big, huge attaboy or attagirl for that. That's a huge step. What they're dealing with is these printer, most peripheral companies, because of the amount of business they get from the Windows side, the development is always way ahead of the Linux side. And with Brother and some of the printer companies, it may take 6 months to a year. Now, with that, even with that said, when you go to install from a separate company, even HP, that works with Linux like a hand in a glove, one has to generally open up a terminal window, which looks like a command com window in Windows, and do command lines. And it's important to learn several commands in Linux to make this happen. And if they have problems, they can call me. I could probably get their printer set up for them in minutes and give them a little education on what's called Bash, B-A-S-H, and the Linux terminal, and how to open up Linux to allow things from the internet. That's probably what they're fighting with. Linux is all about security. And you got to know how to issue these commands so you get it either at a root level or at least a super user level. But, yeah, this is real common. Now, once people catch on to it, they'll go, oh, is that it? And it generally works pretty well. So if they have problems, they can feel free to give me a call, and I do that almost daily, setting up printers in Linux. That's I can see their confusion, but once they see it work, then it will make sense. Great text, and good job installing Linux. Great text.
Excellent. Thank you for that. 651-989-9226. We have some text messages, too, again, to help out. But Kevin, I think, is just calling in from Eagle Lake, I think. Kevin, you're on CCO with Doug Swinhart.
Good morning, Doug and Denny. Hey, have a question. I'm running Macintosh, and the system is Mojave. And whenever I type, when I'm in text edit or in Facebook type in a comment, whenever I type the word he, it automatically changes to she. And I cannot figure out what's going on with that.
Oh, I have to take the fifth here and tell you, that's above my pay grade. This would be one that I would think Apple support would want to be all over. That is, these auto corrections, they're sometimes humorous, but when you got one that's this consistent and you can't undo it, I think we need to call Apple on this one. They're going to be chomping at the bit to take a look at your computer and find out exactly what's going on. I couldn't even begin to answer that. That's way good. I got three Macs here that I'm working on as well. I like working on Macs, but this is an anomaly. I've never heard of this before. And thank you so much. I wish I could have been more helpful.
What do you like about working on Macs, Doug?
Well, the equipment is just so well put together. It's absolutely elegant. And they take a little bit more time, and a little bit more finesse. You got to be cautious not to over-tighten. So, some of the technology that's built into this equipment is phenomenal. For example, MacBook Pros, they have these aluminum cases. Many people, when they work on them, they tighten the external screws too tight. These cases and stainless steel screws are designed in such a way to where the first time you turn them on, as they begin to heat up, they will actually tighten up the screws to the proper torsion, to the proper pressure themselves. You almost got to leave them just barely finger tight. And if you miss that, well, then you're going to end up stripping one of those threads and out they go. And I don't think Apple or the manufacturers do this to hinder repairs. But it's something that is little things like that on a Mac make them a little bit more challenging. And I love the way the Mac OS runs. If you've got a newer computer and you can install OS X, they just pick up and go. I enjoy working on Macs. They're a good machine to work on.
That's great to hear. 651-989-9226. Still have a few minutes to go on the show if you want to get involved with your question for Doug. Let's go to Brooklyn Park. It's our next stop. I believe Ray is calling in this morning. Ray, you're on CCO with Doug.
Hey, Doug. Hi, Denny. Got a question about Linux distributions that you're often promoting. I'm wondering what would the best one be that you would recommend, and would it make a difference if I wanted to not download it over the Internet because of kind of a spotty connection here? If you got it on a CD-ROM or something from Micro Center?
In fact, nearly every distribution on their website will offer a USB drive that you can boot or a DVD. And the distributions, there's many, many, many distributions. And that comes from that open source software. There's maybe 50 people working on a project, and 10 of them say, well, I think we should do this, and 40 of them say, no, we're going to keep going in this direction. They end up taking the software, which is perfectly legal, and branching out into a new distribution. Happens all the time. And that's, I believe, probably the majority of why we have so many distributions. When you're choosing a distribution of Linux for your specific equipment, it's a good idea to possibly go to a website called DistroWatch, DistroWatch.com. There they will list the most common distributions and actually give you a count of how many people downloaded them this week, what their rating is, what country of origin, the basis of the actual operating system core, whether it's built on Debian or Arch. It's a tremendous place to learn about Linux. But I normally will take a look at the hardware, and if it's an older machine, we will be looking for a distribution that requires much less resources. But you can get Linux in 32-bit, 64-bit, even Linux Mint has four different desktop series. And for an older machine, you'd probably want to use XFCE. It's the lightest and the fastest and the least resource hungry. And, of course, they push Cinnamon, which is the most elegant and really graphically beautiful to look at. And they're all good. And the nice thing about Linux is once you start playing around and learn how to install your own, you can redo it numerous times on a hard drive. Start with an older machine that you can play with. I don't recommend a production machine being used for testing. But today, computers are inexpensive, and you could pick up a desktop or a laptop and just have it as your test machine. What you gain in knowledge will come back to you tenfold what that equipment costs you. I really enjoy this, that people are stepping over and testing and expanding their knowledge. Nothing could be better. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
You've kind of given me some incentive to pick up this computer. I was thinking of something you don't like to do is get rid of it. But I thought, you know, it's an HP that's probably about 7-10 years old, maybe, and a laptop. And how would I go about installing Linux? It's not tough to do, right?
Well, there is absolutely a tremendous amount of education available on the Internet. Mm-hmm. And like I say, one of the best places to start would be DistroWatch. And I generally will tend to look for distributions where the country of origin is the U.S., France. Of course, Ubuntu comes from the Isle of Man. And I tend to start there. I really like the distributions that are based on Debian, D-E-B-I-A-N. But then you get into, okay, how to. YouTube is a tremendous resource. You can sit and watch a 6-7 minute video, maybe a couple of them. Maybe one you didn't understand, go to the next one. But the education that's out there, it's very, very put together in a very professional manner. Even people who are doing it for a first time do great work in this area. Step-by-step instructions and your old equipment. By the way, Danny, I'm working on an HP right now that I believe the person bought in 2006. And I almost have this thing resurrected completely, running Windows 7 on one part of the hard drive and Linux on the other. And she's a runner. This is great equipment. If you do have to dispose of your equipment, and there comes a time where we all have a piece of equipment that needs to go. I highly encourage everybody to check out TechDump, TechDump.org. There are two locations in the Twin Cities, and a great, great resource and a great business. TechDump would be the only place I'd want to take them. They do great
Excellent.
Work. And thank
Good
you
deal.
So much. That's a wonderful question.
All right. I tell you what, let's do. We have to take a break. We have more show to come here, and we have some texters you want to help out, too. It's Tech Talk. We're around in the 11 o'clock hour every Saturday morning. Hope you join us from time to time when you can here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to Tech Talk here on 830 WCCO. Danny Long here with our friend Doug Swinhart. Doug, before I get too far adrift here, let's get that phone number you're so kind to give out for some extra help. What is your phone number?
651-552-9543. And, of course, WCCOtech.com, WCCOTECH.com, which, by the way, Danny, my website is way outdated. I got to get caught up with that. 651-552-9543. And thank you.
Yeah, we'll get that number before you leave here. We have a few minutes to go in the show, and I don't want to leave any of our texters out if we can help it. I'm going to see if you can't translate this for me. I'll just read it as it's written. A texter says, I have a Surface 2 running the RT operating system. It is quite slow, but I would hate to throw the device away. Is there any way to update the system or improve its performance?
Yeah, you know, these Surface books are not the easiest to work on either. They actually don't have any screws that we can take them apart. You have to use a heat gun because they're glued, and one needs to be very, very cautious. But, yes, you can upgrade them, but they're a little bit difficult to get apart. Big thing with these things is to make certain that we have some semblance of control with the BIOS. Now, the version of Windows, this RT, just by updating the version of Windows to a stronger version would be much superior. Won't do too much with the speed. The speed on this thing is really governed by the hard drive, even if it's a solid-state drive, and the amount of RAM and the amount and what type of wireless interface is in this. Generally speaking, though, by increasing the potential operating system to a higher standard or a higher grade OS, that should improve somewhat. But be cautious. They can be worked on, and probably one of the best resources to find out how would be ifixit.com, I-F-I-X-I-T.com. They are just a tremendous resource for do-it-yourselfers and computers and, in fact, all kinds of stuff at this point. ifixit.com, another great website that everybody should have in their toolbox. Great text. Thank you so much.
I got to check that out, ifixit.com. Here's another text, Doug. It says, I have a Dell laptop that the battery light is keeps flashing, although I unplugged and replaced the battery. Is there any way to fix this?
Yeah, you know, this is getting to be quite the issue with the smaller Dell laptops. They indicate that the battery is bad, and people will buy a new battery and actually put it in, and, well, no change. And what I've discovered on three of them just in the last month is by changing the cable that connects the battery to the motherboard, solved it all. And I bought two cables. One was $6 and some cents, and the other one was $9. Exclusive for those machines, found them both on eBay. Just be careful that you're buying the exact part number that you need, and that's just as easy to replace as a battery, really. And there's really no way to diagnose which one it is until you buy one and do the other. But these cables are considerably less money than the battery. I would suggest you start there. Another really good text. Thank you so much.
Here's another one, Doug, before you leave us today. It says, I'm using an HP ProBook 4540 with Windows 7 Professional and AVG Internet Security Program. Question is, can I continue to use this PC safely online since Windows 7 is no longer supported, they say?
Oh, absolutely. And that particular HP is one of my favorite HP laptops. The ProBook line, a tremendous line. But Windows 7 Pro, I would stop all updates, any kind of connection between that computer and Microsoft and AVG. Keep it up to date. You're going to want to tone down AVG just a little bit. I think they get a little carried away with too much security, so it slows your computer down. But these are great machines. And I think that if you just pay attention to your security software, you will be way just fine. Just be conscious. And pay attention to what you're doing with this thing, and it should run for many, many years. I like the ProBook line. I really do. And great decks. Thank you so much.
When did they come out with HP with that, ProBook?
Oh, ProBook's been around quite a while. In fact, HP has used that name with, I would have to say, probably 10, 15 years, different model numbers. And, of course, now the new line, the Elite Books, are dynamite machines as well. But if you're using a computer for business and you need something that's a good, well-built, knock-around type machine, I couldn't recommend a ProBook any higher. And there's just a plethora of refurbs on the market that you can get. And once it's been refurbished, if it's been done by a qualified company, you got a great machine at a tremendous price. Yeah, the ProBook is a great line.
All right, it's good to know. Doug, we have, oh boy, I can't believe it. We've got about 60 seconds to go. How about a real quick answer to this one? I have a desktop. Every time I go to shut it down, it says programs are running in the background. Force quit. Sometimes it takes a minute. Sometimes it can take 5 to 10 minutes. What's going on?
Yeah, this would be my first step would be ADW Cleaner. ADW Cleaner, all one word. And I normally put that in a Google search, hit my space bar, the plus sign, and the word Major Geeks, M-A-J-O-R-G-E-E-K-S. That way it takes you right to the link at Major Geeks. You download it. It's a portable program. Won't require installation. And I would be checking to see what's running in the background. That probably will take care of that. And another really good text.
All right. Here's Doug's number, 651-552-9543, WCCOtech.com. Doug, you have a great birthday today. I hope you have a great one. And let's do this again next Saturday morning. What do you say?
Oh, thank you so much, Denny. We'll see you next week.
Good deal. Doug Swinhart, again, 651-552-9543.
Oh, 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 oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.